Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the AD Sports Show, where sports, faith, and life come together. Well, kind of spooky music, but that's my new music. And it's right near midnight. It's Midnight Madness. Psych. When you think about the basketball season drawing to an end here, the Final Four, can't help but think about the beginning. And the beginning started with Midnight Madness. All college basketball seasons start with Midnight Madness. And then they run until you get to the Final Four, and then you have the championship game. And the season's over, and we wait till October again when Midnight Madness strikes the clock. November comes around and college basketball's in full steam. And we have to endure basketball because football season is still in progress. So basketball season really doesn't start most people's minds, even though 16, 17 games are already out of the way. Basketball season doesn't start in most minds until January. Until after your college football playoffs. Some folks probably not until after the Super Bowl, which you push in February. So we've got a lot of problems with the game of basketball. In fact, you know, Arioma, the women's basketball coach at UConn, has won like, was it 8 national championships? I can't even keep up with how many he's got. Final Fours in a row, whatever he's got is just amazing. Probably double digits. He came out this week and said that the men's game was a joke. Just, he said there's only about 10 teams worth watching today. And hate to say it, but I agree. I have a hard time watching college basketball in the men's. The games are, you know, unlike your hurry-up style football today where the games are fun to watch, there's always action. It's like the college basketball game is just drawn out. You've got to endure it. There's like 100 passes before the 35-second shot clock gets to one, and they wait till the last second and throw up something if they get a good shot at all. And it's just hard to watch. It's really hard. Of course, your teams that, you know, play up and down, north to south, those are the fun teams to get up and go. I always think of North Carolina and Duke. That's why their rivalry is still top-notch in the game, because it's a lot of action. You know, you're going to get a good game, a lot of shots. Said it before, you know, North Carolina's problems, they just couldn't shoot. But, hey, got them to the Sweet 16 this year. Coach Williams made some progress with his boys, and they ended up having not so bad of a year. But, you know, you didn't get to hear my bracket predictions, but when I wrote my bracket out, I picked Duke to lose to Kentucky. Picked Kentucky to go 40-0. I did say that in the last show that I picked Kentucky to go be the first undefeated team since the 76 Hoosiers and from Indiana with Bob Knight, who coached them. Just got done watching Hoosiers get pumped up for the Final Four this week. And a lot of similarities between, you remember Coach Bobby Knight with Indiana and the old actor Gene Hackman in Hoosiers. The old school, old style coaches. Gene ends up in the movie hitting one of his players, you know, before he came to the small high school and won the state championship. And think Bobby Knight, you think of throwing chairs, you know, out on the court, and just losing it at times. But just a lot of tradition, a lot of history with Indiana basketball. And it's the same can be said for Kentucky. If you've ever met anyone from the Bluegrass State, you know, there's a culture of basketball that just is unparalleled. It just can't be beat unless you go to some of these other places like Tobacco Road, North Carolina, and Indiana, where the game's roots just run so long. It's just embedded in the culture and in the history of the state. And so it's pretty cool that the Final Four this weekend is in Indianapolis. It won't be in the Finkel think about where Butler plays, Finkelhaus, and where we see Hoosiers and 15,000 at that time. You know, it's still the same place where the game was played in the movie, but the game will be at a bigger setting, and it's just great. It's great for the game, great for the state, and hopefully, as Gino said, the game's a joke. Hopefully the game will improve. They'll make some adjustments, but the Final Four is not a joke. Final Four, again, it's got some teams that will motor up and down the court. We'll get a lot of shots off. We'll see good defense. And I think at the end, Kentucky's length, their talent, their athleticism will be just too much. Could they lose? Yeah, Wisconsin could beat them. Yeah, Duke could beat them. I don't think Michigan State could beat them. But there's just too much talent. They'd have to have an extremely bad game. I mean, Michigan State might could. You know, give them a 1 out of 10 shot compared to the others, you know, might lift it up to 5 out of 10 or 7 out of 10. Kentucky's going to win. If they're on their game, they're going to win 10 out of 10. I mean, they just, you know, got people saying they're like an NBA team. And I wouldn't go that far. I mean, if you think about high school teams, I know it's a different level, but take your top high school team, that national high school basketball tournament going on this weekend, and the finals are tomorrow. But let's just say Mont Vernon wins for a little high school down in Florida Academy. Let's say they win for the third year in a row. Well, you know, put them up against a D1 team, any D1 team in college, they're not going to win. And it's the maturity factor. It's the athleticism factor, the muscle factor, the physical factor. There's a lot of factors. And so the same can be said when you're looking at your top-notch college program in Kentucky, playing, you know, someone like the 76ers. The GM has made some crazy moves here, and he's supposed to pay off in the future, but looks like a worse than a mad scientist right now with what he's doing in Philadelphia. But even so, that being said, 76ers would have no problem with Kentucky. It's just, again, it's a lot of factors you've got to consider. And pretty much the same factors just discussed about from the making the transition from the high school to college level, but even more so. I mean, Billy Donovan down in Florida, he's word speculation that he's wanting to make a transition, even though he just signed a contract to stay on at Florida in December. Make a transition to the NBA is what they're talking about. If you remember, it wasn't too long ago, you know, Donovan himself won two straight national championships in Florida and signed to go to Orlando Magic, being their new coach in the NBA, and then he backed out of them and went back to Florida. I can't blame him. I made a prediction he'd be the next Mike Krzyzewski at the time. You can do it in Florida, my gosh, you can do it anywhere. But I think Texas got their man, Shaka Smart. He's phenomenal. He's well liked by a lot of young folks, and there will be an adjustment period because when you get a big time college basketball program such as Texas step up from VCU and running a full court press, the Shaka press as he likes to run that kind of 1-2-2 full court press, it's going to be different doing it against, say, your Kansas and your Oklahoma and your Baylor week in and week out. It's just a different level. So I think there will even be an adjustment for Shaka. But I will say this, Shaka will be successful. Shaka will recruit well. And Charlie Strong as well at Texas. Things are changing, and they're changing in the state of Texas, which is a good thing. It'll be a change for the rest of the nation. We've got two African-American coaches now in the state. And I believe both of them in the end will do a fabulous job. Think about what else went on this week. The big news, and it's never too early to talk about college football. Big news was in the land of Tuscaloosa. It was trouble in Tuscaloosa. And Nick Saban, player he took on by the name of Jonathan Taylor, who was kicked out of the University of Georgia program by Mark Richt. And Saban made a mistake, many people say, that he should not have accepted and given Taylor a second chance. Well, that could be debated. And we know it's easy to say that now that things have gone wrong. You know, hopefully we could give the coaches the benefit of the doubt and say they're really wanting to help the player. They're really wanting to give them a second chance, and it's not all about making them and the team look better. You know, that's a judgment call. We know that Saban has had problems in Alabama against Ohio State. He needed a good defensive lineman. So it'd be easy to attack Saban and say, well, he's just doing this because he's got to do something. There's heat on the man after these last 2 years. But I think really the bigger problem is not so much with Saban, but rather his media relations specialist. I mean, who clued him in on, hey, this is a new world, buddy. Last 6 months, hey, Ray Rice, domestic abuse. You got to be self-aware, even in a press conference. So I will say this, Saban does need to work on his media relations skill. He had problems when he first got to Alabama. I had thought he had improved. He has. But there's still an underlying issue there. And he needs, you know, you got a lot of advisors. Counsel, your plans won't fail. You know, more often than not, they'll succeed. And just like nobody counseled him. He went into the press conference. He didn't look like himself. One person said he was snarky. I think Paul Feinbaum on the SEC Network, who ended up commentating on ESPN, said he was snarky. I mean, that was my thoughts when I saw the press conference was he was shaky. He was a little bit uncomfortable, and the media members aren't scared of coaches like they used to be, especially an Alabama coach like, you know, Bear Bryant in the past. You wouldn't dare ask him a question. Now, even a year ago, you wouldn't ask Saban a question, but now nobody cares. Like I said, the world's changed, the media's changed, and Saban just wasn't ready for it, and they got him. So they say this is. First said, worst press conference ever. I wouldn't go that far. I think they still will be talking about it during the season. You know, I know Paul Feinbaum said it'll be over in 10 days. But, you know, it's an issue that he didn't have to worry about or shouldn't have to deal with if he was caught up in today's times. It's hard to stay up with today's times. Last week's news is old news, and there's new news breaking every second, and the headlines on the bottom of the screen. But if you want to stay in the loop, you got to have, especially in that position where you're making millions of dollars, you got to have somebody in your ear telling you, hey, this is the way it's going down. Don't be surprised. You're going to be asked this question. Here's how you respond. And so many think that. Yeah, hey, he looked like he was coming off more like, oh, well, we just want to let the recruits know out there that, you know, this isn't going to happen. You know, this is all about you. The program is still fine. And instead of speaking to the issue of domestic violence. So he does have a platform, and it would have been good to hear him speak more on the issue. And he did say that he was against it, of course. But for most people, I guess a lot of people out there in the world, it wasn't enough, and it didn't appear genuine. And, you know, it is what it is. He's taken a lot of flack from it and probably will continue to do so. Fortunately for the young man, a lady in the situation came back and said, recanted her story, said it wasn't true. We'll see what happens. The police in Alabama haven't let up on the charges. They had a reason to suspect and make the charge. So all you can do is, is pray for the situation, hope things get better. But moving on and getting away from college football, we just got many months before the season starts. The NBA is the sport that's in season right now. And when you talk about the NBA, I'd rather not get into my predictions, but I will say this, the MVP race is heating up. You know, you got James Harden, a lot of people like James Harden. He had 55 points the other night. But my man, who I would go with, would be Russell Westbrook. You know, Durant's out for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russell is, you know, I say Russell because he's got 10 or more triple-doubles already this year. You know, NBA took one away from him. That'd be 11. But he's just been on a tear. And he's, in my book, a triple-double doesn't come every day. But he's putting them out like they are. And so I still like the Hawks, I mean, as far as a team ball, playing a lot like the Spurs last year who won a championship. I can see Atlanta getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and losing to the Cavs. But they're having a good year. You know, they retired Dominique's. They made a statue for Dominique and, you know, rewarded him as he's in the Hall of Fame. But when you think about the sport of basketball and the playoffs, as we're winding down here, think about old school basketball. You got pretty brutal in the lane. You know, if you came down the lane, like the old Celtic and Laker, Piston, and even Bulls for that matter, in the 80s and 90s, those teams, you were going to land on your back. Somebody was going to put you down. And we saw a lot of fights and things take place in that day. Well, we see the sport of boxing picking up today. And there's one name that's really sticking out, and I'm going to surprise you with this name. I'm not talking about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, who's, you know, the fight's going to be charging $100 just to see it on pay-per-view. It'll be the biggest money-making fight of all time. Now, I'm not talking about that fight or those fighters. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this generation's Mike Tyson. You remember Mike Tyson in the 80s? You know, he was just this upstart kid from Catskill, New York, made a video game about him. And the reason why was that he was all that bag of chips. He was big time stuff. You know, you didn't have a Mike Tyson come around every day, just stepped in the ring and knocked the guy out. You know, literally out of the ring. You know, it was just cool stuff. Well, I would tell you, this generation's Mike Tyson's not a man. It's a woman. It's a woman. Ronda Rousey is just she don't play. And there's talk about getting the fight up between her and Muhammad Ali's daughter, Layla. I'll tell you, Layla won't last with Rousey. Rousey knock a man out, and I think she's barking up the wrong tree. Speaking of barking up the wrong tree, might be Tiger Woods. He has said that today that he's going to attend the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, the biggest golf tournament in the world, on a yearly basis. And I'd love it. I love it because it makes ratings go up. I don't think Tiger will have a good year. I don't think he'll have a good Masters. But I will say this, it makes people tune in. It makes people watch. And I say barking up the wrong tree because that's where I'm thinking his golf ball maybe ended up. Well, I'm going to end today's show like that. Tune in for this Final Four weekend. Kaminsky of Wisconsin, Frank Kaminsky, won the National Player of the Year. So we're going to have a good game. I like Decker also for Wisconsin. To me, he's playing better than Kaminsky. So, you know, you got two tall and great players going up against a team that's got about 4 7-footers. They just keep coming at you. A lot of trees, a lot of redwoods in that force. But just tune in. Anything can happen. But I'm making my prediction. I'm sticking with Kentucky. I've got them going 40-0, making a historic run. Well, it's about midnight, and appreciate you tuning in. If you're listening on this night, it's late. Just wake up tomorrow and watch them games. Y'all have a good one.